So let's swing to running backs who we do like. And you brought up a name with the Seattle Seahawks. What's going on there in Seattle? Christine Michael's gone. New guys in. What's up with that?
Yeah, so last week I think we thought CJ Procise was getting the opportunity just for the fact that Christine Michael was, you know, had the hamstring injury, but what did he take advantage of it? I mean, Procise went off in the passing game. So for my PPR league, he put up huge points for me. But, you know, he looked really good on the ground. He had over 66 yards on the ground, and then he had 87 yards through the air. So he was doing it all for them. And then they go ahead and they cut. They waived Christian Michael, who ended up going to the enemy, Green Bay, you know, off waivers. But, you know, we can always talk about that later. But for now, I mean, with the way Procise was playing, and then they have Thomas Rawls coming back, they said this week he's expected to play. They've already come out and said that Procise is expected to be the guy, you know, in the near future, you know, so they're going to continue to give him the opportunities, and they're at home, so I think, you know, the Seahawks always play really well at home, you know, in the 12-man that they call it or whatever, so I really like him this week, especially in PPR leagues, because he provides both opportunities, and he's a former receiver in college, too, so he brings that aspect to the game. So I'm a really big fan of CJ Procise right now. He's kind of my 2016, you know, David Johnson-esque right now.
Sure, sure, absolutely. No, I think that's a really good comparison. Couple other of those, you know, running back, two flex running backs that I like for this week are both of the running backs in that Texans Raiders Monday night
Raiders game.
I think both of the running backs in that are really strong plays this week. And then also LeGarrette Blount going on the road, albeit against the San Francisco 49ers, who have really had a hard time stopping anybody running the ball this whole year. You agree with all three of those as far as being pretty good plays this week?
Yeah, especially the 49, the Patriots running backs going against the 49ers, I think. I could even consider James White just because, you know, we've seen even the backup running backs go play really well against the 49ers. So I like all running backs against the 49ers at this point. That was a great point of bringing up LeGarrette Blount. I think he's going to go off, and he's looked good in general. I love those opportunities. I kind of do like Doug Martin this week, just because I think the healthier he gets, the better he's gonna become. Like, and then they're gonna keep running the ball with him, and he's looked good even his first game back last week. He got in the end zone, so yep. I like him. And then I really like Theo Riddick as well against that Jaguars defense.
Sure, sure. That's actually, especially in a PPR league, I've been a big fan of Riddick in PPR leagues ever since he came on early in the season. We already discussed big name David Johnson. DeMarco Murray's got a good matchup against the Colts. Bell's got a good matchup against the Browns. My two questions on running backs before we move on quick to wide receivers is, what is going on in Buffalo and what is going on in Chicago? Who's healthy? Who's getting the majority of the touches? Because I feel like both of those have a decent matchup this week, but I don't want to be starting a Jordan Howard in Chicago if he's, you know, not going to be playing much due to injury, and Langford's all the way back, and he's going to get more carries. And same deal with McCoy and Gillisley, or however you say it, in Buffalo.
Yeah, so we'll start with Chicago. It looks like Jordan Howard's going to be fine. He said he just had a little bit of tightness. And then early on in the game, and then, you know, just looks like he had a little bit of a sore Achilles, but he says he's good to go. He's not even on their injury report. He wasn't even on the Bears injury report today. So looks like he'll be good to go. LeSean McCoy, I'm just double checking here, but I think he's fine too. I think he's good to go. I don't think there's any issues or setbacks for him. So I think he's looking to get back on track. Like he's as good as he's been all year.
Awesome. That's great news for me. Like I said, I liked both of their matchups. I just, you know, they've been in and out of the fold these last couple of weeks. Thank you. Thanks for the great news. Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, LeSean McCoy's opportunity to to rest during the bye week, I think, is really going to help him a lot.
And he is like been, he's been a big game guy. When he goes off, you know, he goes off for a big game, and you definitely want him in your lineup. It just, you know, you sit through a couple weeks of duds waiting for that week as well. But anyway, any running backs that you wanted to touch on quick here before we move on to the wide receivers?
No, that's pretty much the list I have right now.
All right, cool. Awesome. Well, moving on to wide receivers. I think I like starting with the negativity and working our way positive. So the first name that I have on my list of wide receivers that I'm not all that big on this week is Dez Bryant. I just, you know, he doesn't quite seem like the old Dez that we've, you know, seen the past couple years. It seems like Dak really enjoys spreading the ball around, and it seems like they really like Ezekiel Elliott always being the number one option for them offensively. And then the Baltimore Ravens defense is pretty good, both against the run and the pass. But I presume that, you know, like I said, the Cowboys game plan will be pretty run heavy regardless. So I'm not liking Dez Bryant a whole lot this week. What are your feelings on Dez right now in his fantasy season?
Yeah, it's so tough just because he's, when he's been healthy, it's been more of a week-to-week just because, unlike Tony Romo, I mean, obviously he was one of him and Jason Witten were Tony Romo's favorite targets, but yeah, Dak's come in and he spread the ball around. He likes to find different targets, likes to go to other guys, you know. So he doesn't just focus and lock in on a guy like Dez Bryant all the time, which I'm sure is pretty frustrating for Dez, but I'd still label him as a good wide receiver too, just because I'm assuming he'll still get his opportunities like he normally does.
Yep.
So it's hard not to play him, especially with his name and how good he is.
And I think trying to apply what I've learned from the great mind of Miles Gorham, it seems like Dez Bryant does tend to have better performances in Dallas as opposed to on the road. And I could be wrong. Again, the numbers might not support that. But that's, I don't know, this is the feeling looking back on Dez's career. It seems like, you know, the big plays and the big games usually come in Dallas with the star involved somehow. So maybe that home field advantage will help give him you know, a little bit of a boost too. Last week, a guy whose name we both unanimously had on the we liked this play this week, who this week I think we'll both unanimously have on the we don't like this week, is out in Philadelphia. Their number one wide receiver, Jordan Matthews, going out west to Seattle to take on the Legion of Boom. You in agreement on that one, that we're trying to avoid Jordan Matthews this week? Although we, you know, he was decent for us last week.
Yeah, so the only upside I think for him right now against the Seahawks is the fact that you won't see a guy like Richard Sherman or you know, any of their DBs really line up in the slot against him. But I mean, you might see, but I doubt you'll see Richard Sherman do it. So the only good thing for him is the fact that whoever plays nickel for the, you know, and in the slot for the Seahawks isn't that great. So I'm sure they're a little bit more susceptible against, you know, against guys in the slot than they would be on the outside, you know, with guys like Richard Sherman. But again, like you said, though, they're still in Seattle, and I still think that's going to be a tough sledding for a guy like Jordan Matthews this week, especially for that rookie quarterback. You know, his first time on the road in Seattle, I'm sure I expect them to get after him pretty early.
How about same game, other side of the ball? Do you think that Doug Baldwin or anyone in that Seattle passing game is going to be able to do much against that Eagles secondary?
I mean, just like similar to the Vikings, I wouldn't say they're quite as banged up or quite as have as many issues. But the Seahawks offensive line does struggle. You know, they're not very good right now either. So I'd be a little worried about that. But I think, you know, the healthier Russell Wilson gets, the less and less that really matters, just because he can move around and escape some of that pressure. So I do like guys like Doug Baldwin, Jimmy Graham. Right now I'm really high on CJ Pro Sites, their running back. So I'm liking all those guys just because they're at home even though the Eagles are good, they're definitely one of those teams similar to, like, you know, the Vikings or the Pittsburgh Steelers or the New Orleans Saints, where they're not quite as good on the road as they are at home.
Completely agreed. Now, one passing attack that's been pretty successful, by all means, for the most part of the year, that I actually don't like this week from a matchup standpoint, would be Derek Carr, Michael Crabtree, and Amari Cooper of the Oakland Raiders at home on Monday night, going up against an extremely tough, even without J.J. Watt, Houston Texans pass defense. What's your level of concern as far as their, you know, Crabtree and Cooper go this week, getting some fantasy points?
Yeah, for me, I'm not having a lot of issues. I mean, you saw what they were able to do against the Denver Broncos in Denver a couple weeks ago, and they beat the Broncos, which is a big step for the Oakland Raiders, and, you know, how good they've been, you know, compared to what previous season. So they excite me a lot. Their offense looks really good. And so I do. I'm kind of the opposite of you this week. I like those guys. I think Derek Carr is going to continue to look, you know, similar, you know, that MVP type season he's having. I think that's going to continue. Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree are just going to continue to play well. I don't think Houston has somebody that can stay with one of those guys. I mean, I like AJ Boye, their top corner right now, or Kareem Jackson. They're both pretty solid, but I don't think in a full game, I don't think they're going to. I think the Raiders will find a way to hit some big plays.
Wow. And those are all really good points. I just started looking at the passing yards per game for defenses allowed. And in order, real quick, of the top 10, just because some of these names, I think, are shocking. And a lot of us casual fans just look at the records, you know, and some of the final scores and don't really know this about teams. But Denver is number one. Fewest passing yards allowed per game. Arizona comes right behind them at number two. Houston Texans are third in the league. The Jacksonville Jaguars, with your man Jalen Ramsey, are fourth in the league, only allowing 203.5 passing yards per game. Crazy. And then you get to the Ravens at 5, the Vikes at 6, Philly at 7, the Rams at 8, the Dolphins at 9, and the Legion of Boom coming in at 10th for passing yards allowed. So just found some of those names in there and where they're placed really, you know, surprising, for lack of a better word. And yeah, your man Jalen Ramsey, he's got that Jacksonville Jags pass defense force, so maybe my daily lineup's going to have to switch Stafford to Bortles in that one too. I don't know.
Maybe.
How about wide receivers you like this week? You mentioned the Jaguars receivers who have been disappointing for, you know, in most this year. Liking their potential this week. For fantasy wise, what other wide receivers, when you look at the schedule, do you like?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Rishard Matthews. He's looked really good the last few weeks, and he's definitely become besides Delaney Walker, he's become their number one receiver, scoring touchdowns. And I think, let me double check, but I think it's at least, might be the last three games he's got a touchdown. Just double check real quick. Yeah, the last three games he's got four touchdowns, and he continues to look really good, and he plays, you know, he's fortunate going against Indianapolis Colts pass defense, who hasn't been very good. I like Jamison Crowder. He continues to be their de facto number one, you know, behind Jordan Reed and such. He's looked really good. Those are some of my middle tier names, and then there's the news of, you know, Alshon Jeffrey being suspended for four games with the performance enhancing drugs. So
that's right.
That only elevates a guy like Cameron Meredith moving forward with you know, especially with teams that I'm an Alshon Jeffrey owner, and so it's really tough to want to drop him just because it's going. I think when he comes back, it'll be like the first or second round of the playoffs. So it's tough to try to rely on that. So if you're an Alshon Jeffrey owner, I'd definitely try to go get a guy like Cameron Meredith because I think he's going to reap the benefits that of Alshon being out.
Completely agreed. Other wide receivers, obviously Antonio Brown, you know, he's always in there and stuff. Mm-hmm. One that I thought maybe, but now I'm having second thoughts, mainly because you having me look up these matchups. Jarvis Landry
for the Miami Dolphins
going against the Los Angeles Rams. I had him as one of my, you know, I like him. I think he's a strong play this week, even outside of PPR, but I'm kind of second guessing that. Should I be or you know, play Jarvis?
No, I was going to say that I'm in the same boat as you. I was going to say the exact same thing right before you did it, or right after you did. So you beat me to it, but I do. I'm kind of down on Landry the last couple weeks, and he's been banged up too. So that only hurts his cause. And then the Rams' pass defense has been pretty decent too. So
something
to keep an eye on. It sounds like Landry's got a little bit of a shoulder injury, so I'm sure that's been affecting him quite a bit.
A lot of times I think that's the case when you see players' production take a dive like mm-hmm. that, and you know what they're capable of doing. I agree with that. I think a lot of times it's injury that, you know, isn't reported how bad it is. All right, well, we got one position left. That's the tight end position. And I think you brought up an interesting aspect with Alshon Jeffery being suspended, where we'll start with tight ends who I'm liking this week and moving forward possibly, and that'd be Zach Miller with the Chicago Bears. I think when you lose a threat like Alshon Jeffery, you would expect the number of rushing attempts to increase a little bit, and you would expect, you know, the number of short to intermediate passing range attempts increase as well. So I think that works well for Zach Miller in Chicago, in my opinion. You like him and his situation now with Jeffrey out of the mix?
I do, because I think he's got a good rapport with Jay Cutler. And again, the targets that Alshon would be seeing, he's going to lose to, you know, and the only guys like Zach Miller, Eddie Royal, and Cameron Meredith are going to reap those benefits. So to me, I like all three of those guys moving forward, especially Meredith and Zach Miller. Especially, you know, since we're talking tight end, I like Zach Miller this week against that Giants defense. You saw a guy like Kyle Rudolph, you know, do pretty well against the Giants defense a few weeks ago. So I think that's a good matchup for him.
I completely agree. Big name matchups that are almost match proof at this point, but have good matchups in my opinion this week. Jordan Reed at home against the Packers, which we brought up a little bit when you mentioned Kirk Cousins. Also Delanie Walker on the road against the Colts, which we brought up a little bit, talking wide receivers, I think. And Kyle Rudolph, who's been pretty consistent here as of late. My two questions I want to get on you for, you know, what's going on and is this a good play or not. First, Travis Kelce at home this week. You know, he's been kind of a disappointment. But I don't. If I'm an owner, I don't want to have him on my bench the week that he has two or three touchdowns and 100 yards. Is Travis Kelce a pretty decent play this week?
Yeah, I mean, I like his matchup against the Tampa Bay Bucs. They're at home too. You'd mentioned earlier when we talked Jameis Winston. So, I think especially with a guy like Jeremy Maclin being out there, I think he's going to become a little bit more of a focal point in that offense. So, or at least he should be, just because he's so talented.
Right, completely agreed. My other question on tight end is with the New England Patriots. They've got two of the best fantasy scoring tight ends this year. Gronk obviously always is one of the best fantasy tight ends, but as well as Martellus Bennett. They've both had injury issues as of late, whether it be a week ago or 3 weeks ago or, you know, within the last couple weeks. How healthy is that New England tight end group going on the road against San Francisco? Because I got to think one of them's going to get, you know, who's ever out there, they could roll out Bill Belichick probably at tight end or do the old just put your big nose tackle out there and, like, have him get 2-3 touchdowns. But what's going on with the Patriots tight ends?
Yeah, so, well, it sounds like Gronk missed practice again today, and I'm expecting him to kind of not play this week with they're calling it a chest injury, but it sounds like he might have punctured a lung, which sounds a lot worse than it probably than what it the diagnosis really is. It sounds like it'll heal on its own, but sounds like he'll probably be out this week, which is only benefits a guy like Martellus Bennett, who we saw last week played pretty well. Bennett has been questionable in, you know, he's been limited in practice with an ankle injury, but I think he's been that way for the last few weeks, to be honest. So he's played through it otherwise, so I don't expect it to hold him out, especially if Gronk doesn't go. I'd put Martellus Bennett in one of my top, you know, 5, 6, 7 tight ends who plays this week against the 49ers.
I completely agree. Couple tight ends that I'm not liking this week from a matchup standpoint, or they've just been, you know, underperforming too much for my taste, would be Jimmy Graham, Dennis Pitapocket, and Jason Witten. Graham and Witten don't have the best matchups, and Dennis Pitta just, you know, he's disappointed me too much where, you know, if I got any better options at this point, I think I'm going with him. Any disagreements, or did I miss any names?
No, I totally agree.
All right, cool. Well, in that case, then, let us get to my favorite part of every podcast that me and Miles do here, and that is when we put our Monopoly money where our mouths are and pick a player at each of the four primary positions that we discussed here in the podcast to represent us and battle head-to-head for the ultimate supreme bragging rights of the universe. Miles, you won in the lowest scoring game that either team of us have had since we started keeping track. So without question, that gives you the honor then of making the first selection here in our Week 11 fantasy football picks.
You know, since we've been talking about tight ends, I'm going to stick with tight end. I'm going to go with Eric Ebron. I think he's got a solid matchup, and I've just been a big fan of his the last couple of weeks, so I'm going to continue that.
I had a feeling you were going to go that route, and I was hoping you were going to go that route, because I am deciding to say no to the Patriots and to Delanie Walker and Jordan Reed, but we're going to keep it in the NFC North. And it is not Kyle Rudolph. I am going to take Zach Miller of the Chicago Bears.
All right. NFC North showdown.
Yep, all right. You want to keep it rolling, or you want to defer to me?
Go ahead.
All right. Well, I think I will go to the quarterback position then. And like I said, I'm still excited. Jalen Ramsey, you're not going to rain on my parade. There are going to be passing statistics galore in this game on both sides. However, due to the Ramsey factor, I think the horse I want at quarterback on my team this week is none other than fantasy football garbage time god, Blake Bortles.
Ooh, all right. You're going to hedge your bets on that one, huh?
That's right. That's right. He might have like three or four interceptions, but he's still going to have 20 fantasy points or more.
I'm contemplating. I kind of want to prove you wrong with, you know, a guy like Derek Carr against Houston, but you know what?
Do it. I would love it.
I think I'm going to roll with Kirk Cousins against Green Bay just because I love to watch Green Bay lose anyways, so I kind of want to see that. It's more incentive for me to watch that game.
You know, when I ruled out Stafford because of the Ramsey factor, it went down to Bortles or Cousins for me. yeah, for real. All right, we're down to wide receivers and running backs. You want first on this one, or you want first on the last one?
Yeah, so you know what? I'll go ahead. I might go with you know what? I'm going to go kind of what you were saying earlier, and I think we're going to see Todd Gurley's first 100-yard game this season, so I'm going to go with Todd Gurley.
All right. That is a high-risk, high-reward play. Fantasy Strategy 101 real quick. If the reward is equal to or greater than the risk, roll with it. And this is a perfect example of that. The reward is far outweighs the risk of him letting you down in this scenario. So very good pick, albeit a gutsy one. I applaud it. So, boy, running back for me, it's got to be Blunt, Miller, or Murray. I'm gonna go with Lamar Miller. I think the Texans just they're gonna want to keep that Raiders offense off the field as much as possible. They struggle to pass the ball with Brock Osweiler, so I'm going Lamar Miller as my running back.
All right,
Monday night.
That's always a solid pick.
I got 2 out of 3 Millers so far. I hope that's good. All right, so we're down to wide receivers, and I'm first, huh? This is tough. Oh man. Oof, boy. Can I do this? I really shouldn't do this, but. I think no. All right, I'm switching just a little bit. I was gonna pair up Allen Robinson with Blake Bortles just to really hammer home that confidence, but I don't have it. So instead, I am going to take into account what we discussed, and I'm gonna stay in the same game. I'm gonna take a wide receiver on the other team. My wide receiver this week is going to be Golden Tate. Hopefully getting lots of yards after catches and torching that Jags defense for some points.
I thought about that one. That one definitely crossed my mind. You know what? I'm going to if you're going to go with Golden Tate, I might counteract. You know what? I'm going to go with Rashard Matthews just because I talked about him earlier, and I kind of like the way he's been playing lately.
Wow. Hey, that's all right. I like it. I like that, you know, with the only big name on here really is Gurley, and with the season he's had, that's still a gutsy pick. You know, so I really like these names that we got representing us this week. Again, to recap, Miles has the team here week 11 of Kirk Cousins at quarterback, Todd Gurley at running back, Rashard Matthews at wide receiver, and Eric Ebron, at tight end for the Detroit Lions, going up against my team of Blake Bortles at quarterback, Lamar Miller running back, Golden Tate wide receiver, and Zach Miller tight end for the Bears. Whew, all right, another one in the books, Miles. Great job. It was my pleasure, as always.
Appreciate it, Scotty. That was a great time.
Hey, thank you. And again, just a friendly reminder to everyone listening, if there's any questions that you have that we weren't able to discuss or want us to go more in-depth on, please find us on Twitter or Facebook. You can connect with us through all the Vikings Digital Diaries social media means, or you can go straight to the sources if you want to tweet Miles. Tweet him at Miles Gorham 85. If you want to tweet me, it's at BDST Show. Wishing all of our fantasy football owners out there the best of luck here in this week 11 of the NFL season as you're trying to finalize your playoff pushes for hopefully that ultimate fantasy football glory. And wishing the best of luck to our Minnesota Vikings to hopefully get off that losing schneid, turn the Viking ship around, and get headed back towards the playoffs. Until next week, on behalf of Miles Gorham, I'm Scotty Ball, thanking you once again for joining us and saying, Skol Vikings!